Republican lawmakers are vowing to fight back against a federal vaccine mandate announced by President Biden yesterday. Governors certainly leading the fight here within the party, but the Republican National Committee is now threatening to sue the Biden administration over the policy. Let's bring in Republican Congressman French Hill joining us from the state of Arkansas. And Congressman, it's good to talk to you today. Let's just start by talking about where you stand on this and what are you hearing from your constituents, particularly the businesses that would likely be have to enforce the mandate. How big of a pushback are they getting?
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. I think it's a mixed story in terms of what I've heard from employers. Many are very concerned that the mandate using an OSHA regulation will make it even harder for them to get people back to work, back to working full time. Many companies, including those with 100 or more employees, are really struggling to get their employees back and up to full speed. As you know, unemployment rate is up, wages, real wages are down, and people have help wanted signs everywhere. So the first thing I heard from many of my employers in my district was this mandate may make it even more hard and more bureaucratic to get their employees back to work.
What is the concern with OSHA being tasked with drafting this new regulation?
Well, OSHA, as you know, sets regulations on workplace safety, particularly where there are workplace hazards like a manufacturing facility or a construction site. So this is really extending OSHA's oversight into a lot of areas it's never been before. And the federal government, by doing that, is also able to then fine employers so many dollars per day for non-compliance. So you can see the bureaucracy there in an HR department or in a business owner on how they're going to have to now comply with a whole new set of OSHA regulations, OSHA inspections that they've never had to comply with before. So on top of being a potential detriment to getting employees back to work and doing that in a safe way, you also add all this extra federal intervention and oversight in businesses where they really haven't had to deal with OSHA before.
Yeah, Congressman, I guess, you know, a lot of the issue here is kind of, it seems like people generally have now started to agree that, you know, vaccines are good. And it took us a while to get there, you know, when we heard politicians kind of talking about them at first. But it does seem like quickness is of the issue here. So, I mean, what would be a better way to roll this out rather than what President Biden's proposing here to really put the emphasis on businesses, which obviously have a very close contact to their employees? I mean, what's the better way? Because it seems like time is of the essence.
Well, I see people being vaccinated at faster rates across the country, including in Arkansas, where it was a slow uptick for many of our citizens. Over 500 college campuses are doing weekly testing or vaccine requirements for their kids to be back in class. I see that with a lot of businesses. So in my view, it's not that it's good or bad policy. It's trying to mandate it and then fining people and making it a federal regulatory offense if you don't do things in a certain way that I find people believe to be heavy-handed from the mandate point of view, when every employer already is taking practices to try to keep their employees safe and create an environment where they can get people back to work regardless of what their personal medical views are around taking a vaccine or not. So I think across the country, people recognize the importance of the vaccine. That's why you're seeing a vaccine expanding. So that's my view on it is I think for a lot of employers, it's using an OSHA mandate instead of letting them use common sense on how to keep their employees safe and have a balance in their workplace.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess kind of the pushback here is we've still seen millions of Americans not vaccinated, right? And kind of what more can be done, at least something there right now, a big push there. I mean, outside of the OSHA concern you have, I mean,
maybe we should require everybody who's on recipient of Medicaid to be mandated that they're vaccinated. Maybe every person who crosses the U.S. border who is an alien needs to be vaccinated before they move. There are a lot of places where we could expand vaccination. You ask me, what am I hearing from employers in my area, and that's one of the views. Others have said that's fine because I'm already doing it that way. So it's a mixed bag. The point is, I think that causes people concern is that you're having a federal mandate in an area in a work environment where OSHA has never played and it's never played a role there.
Congressman, let's talk about where things stand with the infrastructure bill. Of course, we had the Senate pass it in a bipartisan manner. It looks like things are running up against a bit of a block or a wall, if you will, over in Congress, especially within your party. How optimistic are you that this can be passed in a bipartisan manner? And where do you stand on the bill?
Well, there's a lot of work in the House. We've Republicans put forward an infrastructure bill. It was voted down by the Democrats. It included a lot of innovation, including using expanding a pilot program for a mileage tax for electric vehicles, for example, in order to help pay for roads, bridges, and infrastructure. People are studying what's in that bill, and they're studying the $3.5 trillion bill. As you know, Speaker Pelosi has tied them together in the House. So you keep referring to Republican opposition. There's Democratic opposition to the infrastructure bill and the $3.5 trillion Bernie Sanders spending bill in the House. And so we'll have to wait and see what Mrs. Pelosi and the Democratic leadership in the House actually are able to include in both of those measures, or if they have to adjust them in order to get them passed in their own conference. Republicans, as a general statement, are interested in true infrastructure, roads, bridges, highway finance. That's only about 10% of the Senate package. They're also interested in looking at the gap in broadband. But just this week, I was in a summit on broadband infrastructure here in Arkansas with Governor Hutchison and Brendan Carr, an FCC commissioner. And FCC reports that there's more than enough money right now to close the broadband gap in the country for every American citizen if it were just simply deployed in the money that's already been included in American Rescue, the CARES Act, and previous Department of Agriculture bills. So that's why I think you're getting close scrutiny at both the infrastructure piece and the Bernie Sanders social spending piece, particularly the tax increases on American business.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, we have seen maybe some pushback. Senator Manchin, once again, kind of raising questions around spending. And you've been critical about the idea of spending and what that might do here for inflation at odds with maybe what we've heard from the Fed in terms of supply chain disruptions versus, you know, some true underlying, not transitory, going to be here for a while inflation. I mean, when you look at it, how do you assess those risks when it comes to, I guess, you know, the average American out there and costs going up and what you want to see change?
Yeah, this is really an important point, and you're right to bring in both monetary policy and fiscal policy. I'm in the camp of former Democratic Treasury Secretary Larry Summers back in the winter, who said the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan was too much, it was untargeted, it was unnecessary, and would lead to too much fiscal stimulus. And so certainly the $3.5 trillion that Bernie Sanders has proposed in the Senate that's now coming to the House is in that same vein. When you combine it with the significant continued accommodative monetary policy. So I do look at them both. I look at them in tandem. And I don't think I'm alone in my point of view among the political parties. And now you see some regional Fed presidents pushing back that perhaps inflation isn't transitory. And shouldn't we take that into account and be prepared in case it's not, so that we're able to adjust both monetary and fiscal policy? So I'm a yellow flashing light on inflation might not be transitory. It might get embedded in our economy. I lived through the 70s and the early 80s. I don't want to see that repeated.
Congressman, getting back to the concerns that you have with the infrastructure bill as it stands right now, is the concern here that Democrats are tying it directly to this reconciliation bill? Or is it about the substance of this bipartisan bill that you have issues with?
Yeah, it's bipartisan. You're right. You've made that point, and I agree with it. It got over 60 votes in the Senate. The composition, though, is not ideal for a rural state like Arkansas. It has a lot of money that goes essentially to urban areas and urban priorities and priorities that are not the key ones here. We're worried about things like the Interstate 40 bridge across the Mississippi River between Arkansas and Memphis. And when you see only 10% approximately of the over $1 trillion proposal going into roads and bridges, I think you find that a lot of people who represent middle America, Republican and Democrat, prefer an infrastructure bill that's more focused on roads and bridges in the $500 or $600 billion range, so focused on surface transportation. And that's why I think you see pushback by Republicans in the House, but some in the Senate, on the nature of the bipartisan bill in the Senate. It was very focused on urban areas and very focused on, I would argue, more of a Green New Deal set of priorities rather than meat and potatoes priorities for the average congressional district across the country.
Congressman French Hill joining us from Arkansas today, and I should say, wishing you the best of luck for your Razorbacks against Longhorns tomorrow.
Hey, our Razorbacks, we're going to beat those Longhorns tomorrow.
Always good to have you on this show.